I just want to thank the leadership for allowing me to speak this morning. I want to thank my parents, my in-laws, my wife, my kids, my friends, and anybody who has spiritually encouraged me. Today, I will be reading a passage of scripture that has is very familiar, and I just hope that you were encouraged by it. I'm going to try to make this PowerPoint work. It's the first time I did something like this, so please bear with me and the technology. All right. All right, we're just gonna do it by command. You can start the first slide. The title of my message this morning is called Let the Scales Fall. And there, it's taken from Acts chapter 9. We're gonna read from verse 10 and we're gonna go all the way to 21. I'll read it quickly because there's a lot that I want to say, and I will keep it as short as possible. So Acts chapter 10, I'm reading from the HCSV version. And it reads, chapter 9, we're starting from verse 10. It says, "Now in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias, here I am, Lord,' he said. 'Get up and go to the street called Straight.' And the Lord said to him, 'To the house of Judas, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, since he is praying there. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and placing his hands on him so he may regain his sight.' 'Lord,' Ananias answered, 'I have heard from many people about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has authority here from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name.' But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before Gentiles, kings, and the sons of Israel. I will certainly show him how much he must suffer for my name.' So Ananias left and entered the house. Then he placed his hands on him and he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road you were traveling, has sent me so you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' At once, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul was with the disciples for some days. Immediately, he began proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues. 'He is the Son of God.' But all who heard him were astonished and said, 'Isn't this the man who in Jerusalem was destroying those who called on his name and then came here for the purpose of taking them as prisoners to the chief priest?'" And so we'll stop there. Next slide, please. We're just gonna say a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your word, which is living and breathing. And it applies as much as back then as it does today. So we just ask that we will be blessed this morning by your word, that you will hide me behind your words, Lord, and that the people will hear what you have to say. So we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Next slide, please. All right. I'm going to try to go with that. All right, question. Have you ever been so sure about something, but then you weren't? I remember growing up, I had a cousin who would visit me from Arizona, and he thought for sure he was the fastest runner in the world. He would run up and down the block, and he would yell things like warp 7. And my brother and I, we would laugh because we were just like, you know, you're not really moving that fast. So, you know, we did as what kids do. I challenged him to a race and smoked. He He never ever, I never heard him again. Yeah, Warp 7 ever. But I had my comeuppance. I then, you know, a few years later, challenged the guy who ran track in high school. He practiced every day. He ran meets while I sat on the couch and watched TV and ate snacks. And so he challenged me. I challenged him to a race, and boom, he smoked me. And at that moment, I realized that I was not as fast as I thought I was. So next slide. So we see in chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, we're going to read. It says, meanwhile, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, he went to the high priest and requested letters for him to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, either men or women, he would bring them as prisoners to Jerusalem. This is Saul we're talking about. Next slide. So Saul, he was trying to do what he thought was right. And I'm just gonna read three verses from another passage, just so you could see kind of Saul's origin. So in chapter 7, verse 58, I'll read it quickly. It says, the second portion, it says, and the witnesses laid their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Just quick backstory, what happening right before this happened was the stoning of Stephen. If you don't know that story, it's about a chapter and a half, really, really interesting. They stoned this man named Stephen because he pretty much told them about themselves and they didn't like it. So he really let them have it, but he was right, but they didn't like it, so they stoned him. And in attendance was Saul, and there were all the people that were there. They went to stone him, they took off their robes and they threw it at his feet, kind of just to watch and observe. They mentioned that he was a young man, but he was, you know, roughly in his 30s, so something similar to myself. And in verse 1 of chapter 8, it says, Saul agreed with putting him to death. So I don't know how much of the speech that Stephen gave Saul saw or heard, but from what he saw everyone stoning him. So I guess he agreed with the crowd, and he must have been wrong, so he deserved it. So he agreed with the stoning. In verse 3, it says, of chapter 8, it says, Saul, however, was ravaging the church, and he would enter house after house, drag off men and women, and put them in prison. So it shows that because of what he witnessed and what he believed, next slide, Saul was convicted that anyone that was following the same way that Stephen was following must be stopped, must be persecuted, must be arrested. So Saul's experience was the force that led him on the mission to try to stop the church. Next slide. Thought. Think of a feeling you've had when you learn that what you thought was right was now wrong. I remember growing up, and it was not really taught to me, but it was something that was kind of like a hidden understanding that women were the weaker sex. And I just took it and ran with it, didn't have any pushback. But, you know, as we see now, we watch the Olympics, we see that women are not weaker, they're just different. And being different is okay. They're not weaker than men in the sense that it's not that they can't lift weights, because we've seen that. It's not that they can't run, because we've seen that too. It's just the idea of being weaker meant less than, and women are not less than men. So when I learned that, it was something like a realization and someone turning a light on, or to go with the theme of my message today, like scales falling from my eyes. In chapter 9, verse 3 to 7. It says, and we're speaking about Saul now. It says, as he traveled and he was nearing Damascus, a light from heaven suddenly flashed around him. Falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you? Lord, he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. But get up and go to the city, and you will be told what you must do. And then verse 7 says, the men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the sound, but seeing no one. Next slide. It says, so pretty much Saul knew what time it was. He knew with that experience that he just had, that there was very little doubt that people who were going according to the way were right. And now a change must come. But what I like is in verse 8, it shows that everybody pretty much had nothing to say. They experienced something that was just so amazing that they couldn't say anything. They were dumbfounded. They were speechless. And as anyone who thought they knew something and then actually learned something, you're quiet because you need to absorb what happened. You need to now put away what you thought and now learn. And I just want to, next slide, I just want to highlight something really quickly that I don't want to have overlooked. But Ananias, he was the disciple that went and found Saul and prayed over him. And I think we can relate, well, many of us can relate to Ananias, because Ananias was faithful, but he had a legitimate concern. And as we read in the opening verses, what his concern was, and I will read that quickly, verse 13, it says what Ananias said to the Lord. He said, Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard from many people about this man. So it wasn't like he heard something from his boy down the street about this guy named Saul. He heard from many people about this man named Saul. And what did he hear? He said he has done much harm. He says he has done much harm. Sorry, let me read it. I have heard from many people about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has the authority here from the chief priest to arrest all that call on your name. And Ananias is thinking to himself, I call on your name. He could cause much harm to me. He could arrest me. So he's like, you know, you sure this is the one that you want me to go to? And then the Lord answered. And I like how this plays out. And it says in verse 15, but the Lord said to him, go. For this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the sons of Israel. I will certainly show him how much he must suffer in my name. And how did Ananias reply? No rebuttal. It says in verse 17, so Ananias left and entered the house, and he did exactly what the Lord wanted him to do. And I think that's just an amazing thing, just to highlight real quick, because each of us are being called by the Lord to do something. And we may have our doubts, and we may have our struggles, but it's important that even though we have those things and we may address it to him, that we still must complete what the Lord wants us to do. Next slide. Back to Let the Scales Fall. Verse 18, the first portion of it, it says, at once, after Ananias went in and touched him and did what the Lord asked him, it says, at once, something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. Now, I was curious as to what kind of condition this was. So I did a little bit of research and I Googled what kind of eye condition could Saul have possibly had that these gross scales would have fallen from his eyes. And I mean, because we hear in all other parts of the Bible, people had leprosy, people had, they had paralysis was the word I was looking for. They couldn't walk. We seen Jesus heal the dead. So we've seen all these things, and we still know about these things now. We know about these conditions. So I was curious as to what this condition possibly could have been. And I found nothing. There is nothing that I found on the internet. I mean, it's not that reliable, but there's nothing that I found on the internet that even came close to something like scales being on someone's eyes. So this is something that never happened before that's documented, and we haven't seen again here. So this is something that is unique to Saul. And that also is important for us because each of us here have a unique path. The Lord may find us and have us experience something that maybe no one else has experienced before. It's specific to you. And I think it's important for us to realize that, because not every single time may you find someone that has gone through a situation, which is common, that you're currently going. So it kind of forces you to do what? Lean on God to find out, okay, what is this situation about? Brother Allwood spoke on Tuesday, I don't know if it was this past Tuesday or the Tuesday before, about a woman with the issue of blood. She tried everything. And then she went to the Lord. And she was healed. So if we could kind of take the shortcut and go directly to the Lord, it may save us all a lot of time, heartache, money, and, you know, just a negative experience. So we read in the second portion of verse 18. It says, then he got up and was baptized. So after coming to the realization that the Lord is the real deal, he learned it, he had faith, he was praying, and then he got his sight back. But not only that, he made a public declaration by being baptized that he now is a follower of the Lord. And again, that's for us as well. It's good that we believe in God. It's good that we believe in the word of God, and we pray and we do this and we do that. But making that public declaration that you follow the Lord is a very big deal. It's a very important deal. I remember I was the last in my immediate family to be baptized. And somebody asked me, hey, why did it take so long? And my answer was very simple. I just wanted to understand the reason for it. Because baptism also has the idea of someone, well, in some people believe that when you are baptized, that's when you're actually being saved. And that's not true. And at the time I was already saved. So I was just like, what's the point of the baptism? And I want to say that it was Brother Cato who explained that this is, you know, what we do to show the world that it's more of like a public representation of what's going on internally or spiritually. But I don't remember, but I'll give him credit for it now. So that's the moment when I decided to be baptized. So it's not so much that it means anything spiritually or internally or anything like that, but it's more for it to show people outside that this is what I believe. And I'm wrapping up. I was told to keep it short, so I'm keeping it short. Verse 21 of the same chapter. is kind of like a, not step by step, but it's kind of like the next step to what happens after you now begin to start follow Christ. It says, but all who heard him were astonished and said, isn't this the man who in Jerusalem was destroying those calling on his name? So pretty much like Ananias, they've heard of Saul. They knew what he was about. So now that he's getting baptized and hanging out with the disciples, they're just like, is this the same guy? And that may be what people say about us. Like, I remember that guy. That was the guy who was always telling jokes in the back of the classroom. Or that was the guy who was always taking a longer lunch break than he was supposed to. Did both those things. But it may change what people perceived about you. And I think that is important. And the last verse that I'll read, which shows some other things that may happen, is verse 26. It says, when he arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, since they did not believe he was a disciple. So in the same vein, there's going to be people that knew you and knew your past. And they're going to say, you know what? I don't know if I believe you're really this new saved person. Because I remember what you were doing. I was probably with you. I probably witnessed it. So is this for real? But Saul didn't try to convince them or any individual that he now was a follower of Christ. What did he do? He continued to, where does it say? He got up and he said, which verse is it? I don't want to misquote. Where it says that he was, in verse 20, it says, immediately, he began proclaiming Jesus in the synagogue. He is the Son of God. But all who heard were astonished. So let the scales fall is both for the believers and the unbelievers. It shows us the progression, number one, as believers of where we came from thinking we knew, having the scales fall, and now we see. And the progression of just having that relationship with Christ. And it also speaks to the unbelievers who may still have those scales on their eyes. Now, it may not be the worst thing in the world to have those scales on your eyes currently, but it is a bad thing to hear and not be obedient and leave with those same scales on your eyes. I'm not here to judge anyone. I'm not here to yell at the people who already know, like Stephen did, because I saw how that ended. So I'm not here to do that. But it is serious for you to take the Lord serious, as Saul did. And you don't want to have to lose your sight in order to start to believe. So you have his word, the Bible. So as you still have your sight, take the opportunity to open it up and to read it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much again for just who you are and sending the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. We thank you that you loved us so much that you left the word for us to see on a daily basis. You call it our daily bread, Lord. So we just ask that you can continue to help us to eat from it, to grow and get stronger in our faith by hearing and taking heed to your word. Lord, it's a dark world. That's why you called your word a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, so that we can see where you want us to go. So Lord, my prayer this morning is that those who do not know you will come to know you, and those that follow you can continue to get stronger and reach those that cannot, that wouldn't normally be reached. So we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you. That's so much to do now.
Thank you, Brother Greenidge. The Lord bless you and continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then we are about to depart. I know we're not going to be gathering outside. I don't know if it's raining out there, but because of what is to come, I believe most of us are going to get in our cars, especially the sisters, and get home as fast as possible so that you can prepare. Some of you are going to get something to eat and then to join on Zoom. And we trust that, as I said before, that we will be blessed by the speaker, or dear sister, who will be speaking to, I'm going to say to all of us, because I know some of us as men are going to be listening. So praise the Lord for that. And our sisters, let me tell you something, you are doing a wonderful job. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I listen to my wife in the next room with all the other sisters, and you are doing a wonderful job. And don't stop. Even if we stop wearing the mask, continue to serve the Lord. God bless you. Brother Grant, I didn't remember to talk to say anything about you, but praise the Lord that you are doing much better. God is good. Amen.